it's Cheryl McLaughlin filling in for Tom, and as I have been doing for several weeks and will be for until I'm told not to anymore. So how are y'all this morning? It's just a moisty, moisty day out there, which is good. It's warm, but it's really great for the plants and little seedlings and stuff. But we are here today to answer your gardening questions. So give us a call if you have any questions about what you should be doing this time of year, what's blooming out there, you know, some cool trees to plant because it's such a good time to plant trees and pretty much everything except tiny little old tropical things. So 512-836-0590. We also have a toll-free line, so you don't have to pay to call at 877-590-5525. Well, I am a landscape designer and builder. My company is Kevinwood Landscapes, and the website is kevinwoodlandscapes.com. We do a full-service company. We can build almost anything you want built. We can come up with a beautiful design for you, and we really specialize in the native Texas plants, which is my favorite part of it. You know, of all, really, is the plants and the combinations of them, which really bring in the butterflies and the birds and the insects and the, you know, all the stuff that was created, if you will, alongside our native Texas plants that want to be here. They want to grow in an inch of soil and caliche underneath, which is, I think, you know, I admire them, frankly. So we do that, irrigation, lighting, patios, decks, you name it. So if you're interested in a project, we also do consulting by the hour. So give us a shout. If you're interested, just go to the website and look at the contact page. If you want me specifically to do your consultation, mention my name, Cheryl, and we'll take it from there. So how was Thanksgiving? Mine was good. I had everybody over to my house this year. I'm still recovering. Took me all day yesterday just to do the dishes. I still got a couple more to do, but it was just wonderful. Really a good day, and I hope y'all's was just as good. But now our thoughts turn to Christmas trees. And I think you ought to consider, if you have room on your property and you're wanting a tree in the yard, you might want to consider doing a container-grown living Christmas tree. There's some really wonderful ones out there. You know, we've talked about Arizona cypress in the last couple of weeks more than once, which is a native plant to West Texas that does well here, kind of a bluey color Christmas tree-shaped tree. Real drought-resistant. Arizona cypress is a real good choice, but you could also use like an Aleppo pine or an Italian stone pine. Now, you don't want to keep these in the house more than 2 weeks. I mean, that would be the maximum. So I would consider having them and then have a place set out for them to plant when you're done with Christmas, which makes it also a great gift for somebody. If you can find one, an Afghan pine would work. We talked about those, too, how we figured they only live 15 years. A beautiful, fast-growing pine, but then somebody called in and said she's looking at hers, and they were over 20 years old and just singing along. So that was good to hear. But if you have questions about this kind of thing or what you can be planting this time of year, I'll talk about some of that stuff. But 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. So let's talk about stuff. Oh, I want to definitely talk about fruit trees today, because if you have fruit trees, you know, the leaves are just falling like crazy. So, you know, there's still leaves on the trees now, maybe even on your fruit trees. But once all of the leaves drop off, that's when you start spraying the trees. You can spray them with a fungicide, and at some point when it's cold, you're going to spray them with dormant oil. And there's a lot of good information about how to take care of these trees. And usually the natural gardener will have a seminar. They'll have a free seminar on how to take care of these things. But there's a lot of good info online, too. Also, in the really cold months is when we get in our bare root fruit trees. And not just fruit trees, but, you know, berries, like if you want to do blackberries, grapes, all the fruit trees come in bare root in the very cold months, usually January or even December if it's cold enough. And so what you want to do is figure out where you're going to put them. Find yourself a good spot for a fruit tree. Now, if you're in deer country and you're planting any kind of a tree, as you probably already know and have learned the hard way, you are going to have to cage them. And you want to make sure they're caged far enough away from the little bare root tree that the deer can't reach them. So every deer, pretty much from its chest to its mouth, is 3 feet. That's how far they can reach to, you know, without standing up to eat something. So you got to be sure you're caged far enough out so they can't destroy your little oak tree. All right, we have a caller online. If y'all want to join in, 512-836-0590 or toll free 877-590-5525. Hello, Rick in Georgetown. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Cheryl. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just took out that old Arizona ash that was on the south side of my house. It was in a, you know, it was really, really mature and it had it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, thinking about putting in a loquat there, and so the space is about 30 by 25, but what do you think about those loquat trees?
Oh, I love loquats. They're absolutely fantastic. Now, it's not going to be a shade tree unless you're looking for a little tiny bit of shade, but as far as just a beautiful evergreen that's a real, you know, pretty fruit-bearing tree most mm-hmm. years, loquats are really well-adapted trees. I've used them a million times, especially when somebody wants screening. I put them in there. But again, it's not going to, you know, take the place of a big old shade tree if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not to put that in there or not. Since I do need some shade, it's on the south side of the house, but. What else would you recommend in a spot that's 25 by 30, and then I've got telephone lines, you know, on the edge of that.
You can't have a big old tree. Well,
no.
You got to stay inside those lines, and that doesn't give you a lot of room, does it? You might want to look at something like a lacy oak. It's a smaller scale oak.
Mm-hmm. I've got one of those, and that would be a sister to this tree I'm thinking about putting in.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about just putting two lacy oaks in there and just forgetting about it, because I really like the one that's in there, and it's, you know, it's getting up about 20 feet tall now. It's really, really pretty right now.
Well, that sounds really, like a good plan. I mean, you could also do something airier, but if you I'm stumped if you need shade, because most of our shade trees are going to be pretty big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even a cedar elm might consider.
That's going to get too big there, too.
Yeah. What about a Chinese pistache? That's an interesting tree. Or a nakwa. You're a little north of their range, though. But, you know, the way things are changing, it might work. Mm-hmm. A nakwa is a really cool tree. But if you love a lacy oak.
That one.
It's also called sandpaper tree, and like they're all over New Braunfels where I'm from, but one came up voluntarily in my daughter's house. She lives near downtown, and the farthest north I've seen one in a natural range is up kind of in the 360 2222 area, but it's a really cool tree. You might want to just read up on it. Anakwa. A-N-A-C-U-A. But again, I'm not 100% confident of it growing well in your area. So maybe go with the lacy oak. You could also do some cool stuff like a possum haw yaupon or something like that. You know, again, it's not going to be a big old shade tree, but at least it's going to be full of berries in the winter. Like right now, it'd be stunning. You know about possum haw?
No.
Okay, you know evergreen yaupon, right?
Right.
This is its cousin, and it loses all its leaves in the winter, but it stays covered with berries. It is.
Are they orange or red?
They can berries. Be either one. They can be either one. As you go north towards Waco, they tend to get oranger.
Yeah.
But if you buy one, you can buy one that's just like lipstick red.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun.
I'll check into those, too. And then what's the growth rate on those loquat? Are they fairly slow?
Like almost any evergreen. They're faster than most evergreens.
Okay.
But I wouldn't call them, you know, rapid. But you can get some good-sized ones in the containers.
Okay.
You want a break? Is that what you're looking at? Okay. She wants me to take a break. Do you have other questions? Would you like to hold, or does that help?
That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate your call. We'll be back after this. Or you can talk to Cheryl McLaughlin. That's me filling in for Tom, doing his show. You know, I'm on Sunday mornings at 10, the Austin Gardener, and I feel like I'm, you know, getting reaching people that have not either heard me before or been able to call on Sunday if they're busy. So that's always fun. I've had a couple people mention that to me. But we're here to talk about your questions or your comments, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. And I thought of a course 50 things after I hung up with Rick that he could plant there, including redbud would be pretty. Now we were talking about shade. So if you have a problem, like if your house is facing like his south, you get a lot of sun in your windows and stuff, but you don't have room for a big old shade tree like that, then consider this. If you put a small scale tree closer in, something that's not a foundation killer, you can get the shade on the windows without having a big shade tree. But we deal with this a whole lot in our designs. When we're faced with a small spot, a good old, you know, mount laurel or a redbud or a, you know, even a Mexican plum, an anacacho orchid, there's a lot of stuff that you can put close in that won't hurt anything, that would give you at least shade the windows, you know, because that's where a lot of our issues come in. It's nice to shade the whole roof, but if you can't do that, at least you might be able to keep stuff from, you know, burning up your front room. So, okay, 512-836-0590. We're here today to answer your calls and talk about what are kind of good plants. You know, you can plant bluebonnets in little 4-inch pots. You could be doing that right now. How cool would that be, right? You could have bluebonnets without going for the seed. And yeah, you know, it's not going to be as many bluebonnets as if you did a whole pound of seeds, but they will make seed. And then they'll start spreading their little cells and making a little colony in your yard. So I'd get a couple of flats of bluebonnets. All right, let's go to Burnett for our next caller. Mary, how's it going up there in Burnett?
Oh, it's great. And I want to appreciate you having this in the mornings that you can talk to people.
Thank you. What's up?
I live on quite a bit of acreage, and I'm wanting to plant shrubs that I can have for butterflies like that bloom throughout the year, different times maybe. Mm-hmm. And I just need some ideas as to what to get so I can be planting now.
Well, you probably already have lantana, but you can't beat that one for the butterflies.
Okay.
All the salvias are good butterfly plants. You know, that even the Salvia greggii, hummingbirds and butterflies use that. This time of year, white mist flower is blooming. So it's fun to have that for fall, and that's a good native. Mine is just now really taken off blooming. It's just a white, beautiful fragrant, by the way.
I have the blue mist.
You have the blue, like you have Greg's mist?
Yes.
Oh, well, there's, I mean, that's the best there is, really, for butterflies. But all the mist, like the white mist flower, certainly any of the milkweeds, like, you know, the antelope horns, which you may have native on your property, the butterfly weed, they call it, I'm thinking, what else is, verbena, of course, if you have prairie verbena native out there. All the verbenas are very, very good for butterflies. And let's see, thinking. Well, more things than you would probably think, but a lot of the daisy-type flowers are also good.
Okay.
So maybe that's a good start, at least.
Okay, great. I do have one other question. I have a small almond verbena that's not doing well at all in the place it's in, and I'd like to go ahead and dig it up and transplant it somewhere. Can I do that now?
Yes, I think you can easily do that now.
Okay.
What do you think's wrong with the spot where you have the almond verbena?
I'm probably just not taking care of it like I should.
Yeah. You know, my daughter's died. She had a one that she got at Barton Springs Nursery, and she put it kind of between a grapefruit tree and kind of behind a rusty blackhaw. And it got real leggy, and it lived for a couple of years, and then it died.
I have two in another area that are just great. You know, they die back, they come back and bloom. And then this one's just been struggling for a couple of years. And I thought, well, I'm just going to
put it where you have the other ones are in similar conditions. You know,
exactly. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I do it at the right time.
I saw one the other day at a client's house that was a real tree.
Oh,
and are yours that big?
No, they have the room to do it, but again, I don't think I really take care of them like I should be doing, but they have been surviving and doing pretty well.
Hers was like a crepe myrtle. I didn't even know what it was at first because I'd never seen one that big, but oh my gosh, it was stunning, and it was in the rockiest place. She has a lot that is just covered with rocks up, you know, right up on the Jollyville Plateau. And that thing was just gorgeous.
Sounds kind of like my place. I think if I just gave it a little bit more, you know, a little bit more love and attention, I could probably really get going. But they're doing well where they are, except the one that's in a different area that's just struggling.
Well, you can move it now, or you could even wait till the end of winter and move it, you know, once the freeze is off, if you don't want to get out there and play in the mud.
Okay, well, that sounds great.
But, yeah, so, well, thank you for calling, Mary.
Thank you, and I appreciate, again, your hosting this program for us.
Well, it's the least I can do. I just I hope Tom recovers and comes back, but I'm enjoying it while I'm able to.
Well, we enjoy having you. Thank you again for
your
help.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Oh, Burnett Acreage. Doesn't that sound dreamy? I'll tell you, the more Austin gets crazy, the more I think about places like that, getting out away from the fray. But I can't get too far from my grandkids, so I can't do that. You know, can't move too far away. Hey, I thought of another good butterfly plant that would be something you could put in, especially in a semi-shady area, and that's yarrow. And yarrow could go in with just, you know, $2 worth of seed and start you a whole patch of yarrow. Butterflies love yarrow. And, you know, there's this greatest book, Butterfly Gardening for the South. And I believe it was recently reissued. I need to look at it. But I was messing around with all my books, organizing them the other day. And I have a ton of books, as you can imagine, over all these years. But Gayata Ajilsva, which is a weird name, but Gayata Ajilsva. She's written a couple of different books that are absolutely wonderful books. And her Butterfly Gardening for the South is a book that I think anybody should have. And you know what's so cool about it is it not only shows pictures of butterflies, it shows the larva, so you can figure out what caterpillar is, you know, what butterfly or will become what butterfly. And also, she has a whole section on the plants that they like, larval and nectar. You got to have both. And it's just an awesome book. And I was helped her find places to photograph for her book. This has been many years ago, the first iteration of this book. But I ran across my copy the other day, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, that's such a beautiful book. So, all right, time for the news. We'll be back. Hello. Cheryl McLaughlin here, taking Tom's place for a while. And hope you guys have lots of fun things going on for Thanksgiving weekend. You probably have a lot of company in. It's a little too wet. Could you believe yesterday Oh my gosh, it never, I mean, it was a perfect day to just hang out because it was so foggy and everything was just sopping wet. It was, I kind of liked it, you know, I mean, it was a day of rest after the big push. But some people are thinking about gardening. I think you might be. You might be planning to do some stuff. It looks like we're going to have a nice warm stretch here. Jim Spencer says that it's going to be warmer than November was all through December, which, you know, it isn't awesome, but if it's wet, maybe if we can get a little rain and warm, that would be nice, right? That means the plants would just go crazy. So, but yeah, we can be planting lots of stuff this time of year. We are doing it in our business, my company, Kevin Wood Landscapes, planting, 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 and building, building, building. So, but we're here to answer your calls. We're here to talk about your yard, what you can be doing if you want this time of year. We can also talk about cool things, cool books to give people for Christmas and other kinds of plants. So if you have any questions or comments, you can call 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Again, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Lots of cool flowers, annuals we can be planting. You know what I love that's cold hardy, that's just the cutest thing ever, are cyclamens. And there is nothing more cheerful than a little pot of cyclamens in the winter. And they come in all different colors. And they are an alpine plant, so they're a cold, hardy plant. Although I guess if you put them in and the next day you had a really hard freeze, you might have to protect them for a little while till they got going. But I love cyclamens. And other cool things that you can be putting in, I already mentioned blue bonnets by the little 4-inch pots of blue bonnets already started for you. Super fun. You could also do those in a container, but you could do ornamental cabbage and kale right now. They're so pretty. Dianthus, pansies, snapdragons, stock, violas. You can be planting things like delphinium, larkspurs, and poppies by seed. Those have to be fall planted. Probably a teeny bit late, but last chance to plant bulbs because it is going to be kind of warm here for a while. You can water them in with seaweed. You can plant all kinds of perennials right now. But typically we do trees for sure this time of year because it's so much easier to get them established. So many less requirements as far as water and stuff goes. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the nurseries will be having, you know, sales so they don't have to keep these trees all through the winter. And you can get some nice big trees these days in container. Container-grown trees is the way to go. And everything that you could possibly want now you can find in a big container. The oak trees and everything else. Fruit trees sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. But you can get most of our edible fruit trees will come in bare root. And, you know, as I was talking about earlier, in the really cold months, so they can ship them bare root. And I think if you don't have to worry about deer, you don't have to cage things. But if you do have deer, you will have to protect these little trees. But shoot, you can get all kind of good stuff. Every kind of fruit tree. You can put figs in. You can put, you know, all your typical things like peaches and plums and pears. But you can also be doing blackberries and grapes. Lots of fun stuff that we can put in. And, you know, you can get all of that. Now, a lot of times you can find things like grapes in containers. You can certainly find figs in containers, pomegranates, persimmons. So a lot of nurseries all are providing these things in containers. And if you're lucky, you could even find pecan trees in big containers. Because that's a, you know, because they take a while to get to where they'll produce nuts. So having to get pecan trees started already in a container that's 2 or 3 years old, that's a good head start for getting fruit. Okay, what else can we talk about today? We can talk about what vegetables to plant. But let's hear from you if you have any interest in any of this stuff, 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Meanwhile, you can be planting vegetables. Winter crops can go in. You can be planting arugula, cabbage, chard, lettuce, spinach, even strawberries. And if you have not seen how they grow strawberries out at Boggy Creek Farms, you need to go out there in the winter, because she has such, Carol has a and Larry, rest in peace, Larry, what a wonderful guy. She lost him this past year, but they have big strawberry beds, and it's so cool to see how they plant them. And they put, they have them in these kind of humped up rows, and then they plant them, and then they put black, thick plastic all around them to keep the soil warm, protect the roots for the winter. But, oh my goodness, it is just a sight to see their rows and rows of strawberry plants. That's such a cool place. Okay, we have a caller online. We're going to go talk to Denise and Elgin, and if y'all want to join the show, 512-836-0590. Hey, Denise, how you doing?
Fine, thank you. I appreciate you handling the show in the mornings.
Yeah.
I did have a question about oxblood lilies. Since the deer eat those and I have them planted in a place where there are lots of deer, I would like to dig them up and move them and mm-hmm. want to find out the best time to do that.
Once the foliage has all died back from their bloom, you know, cycle. You know how they'll bloom and then the leaves will start turning yellow and kind of die back in preparation for them completely disappearing. You can't even, you don't even know you have them once they've, you know. But once all the, as much nutrition as can be derived from those leaves goes back into the bulb. So when the leaves are mostly yellow, then you can move them.
Okay, and that seems to be in the like March time frame, because they stay green all winter.
Yours do?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you must have a really, really cool stand of them. Mine never did that. I had a big stand of them at my old house in Travis Heights, and mine did not stay green all winter. But, you know, it was colder then. This was many years ago. So
right.
That could be it. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with moving them in the spring either.
Okay. All right. Thank
but
you very much.
A lot
much.
Of times. Yes,
uh-huh.
Of course. Thanks for calling. Since we do plant bulbs this time of year, a lot of bulbs can be moved this time of year. And now lilies, believe it or not, a lot of lilies we transplant in the summer, which is counterintuitive, but we do. So there'll be some, and I'll talk about it when that time comes, but a lot of times lilies will be planted or transplanted. We have so many native lilies, y'all. Lilies are just wonderful. Now, I know we're talking about the oxbloods. They're not native, but they are the coolest plants. And they do transplant really easily. And I remember, this was before I knew what I was doing, at the Travis Heights house. When I bought the house, the flower beds were very square. You know, they just really squared off, and I wanted them to be more curved. Well, the oxblood lilies were in a straight line. That's how they, you know, had been planted by the old couple that had lived in the house most of the years before I bought it. And so I thought, well, I'm going to move those around, or I'm going to get those out of that straight line. So I dug them up and didn't really know what they were, but they, so I moved them. And the very next year, they all came back in a straight line from just, I guess, pieces of the bulbs that I had not retrieved, or I hadn't gotten all the bulbs. But I moved, you know, I reshaped the flower bed, but I always had a perfectly straight line of oxblood lilies in that same flower bed, which drove me a little bit crazy. But I loved them, and the color. It's such a fun thing to have in the fall. Some people call them schoolhouse lilies, too. But they're a deep burgundy, beautiful red color. So if you don't have any, you need to get some. All right, time for the last break. We have short breaks today, so we won't be gone for long. But if you'd like to join the show, 512-836-0590, and we'll be back. Okay, Cheryl McLaughlin here, filling in for Tom. We are back in the last 10 minutes, and we have a couple of callers online. So let's go to Adamsville. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Cheryl. How are you, ma'am?
Well, I'm good, and I cannot remember where Adamsville is.
Adamsville is, it's not even really a town. It's an intersection that's about 20-some miles north of Lampasas on Highway 281.
Oh, awesome.
It's basically a junk shop and a volunteer fire department, and that's what we are.
There you go.
It's the middle of nowhere.
Well, thanks. Go ahead.
But Cheryl, I got a question for you. We have a 6-foot-high fence, and I want to plant a vine of some sort, or maybe it doesn't have to be a vine, but some type of plant on there. The neighbor's driveway is on the other side of our fence, and they are very respectful, and they do a good job to drive slow, but in the summer when things are dry, we get a lot of dust on our house and by the swimming pool and stuff. So I'm trying to create kind of a barrier. I've got a 6-foot-high fence, and the soil is really tough. It's some caliche and maybe a little bit of dirt, but it's not good black dirt that I remember from growing up in Nebraska, I can tell you that.
Oh, gosh, no, it's not going to be like Nebraska.
Anyway, what would you recommend for putting around, you know, something like that, something that could grow pretty quickly and spread out and just kind of take over that whole fence, basically?
Well, tell me this much. What kind of fence is it?
Oh, it's like a welded wire goat fence.
Oh, so a ready-made trellis.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. It is a full-size, 6-foot-high, very sturdy trellis.
Well, you know, one of my favorite, this isn't a native, but it's real well adapted, and for decorative purposes, you just can't beat it, and that would be the star jasmine, or some people, yeah, I just call it star jasmine. So it is a fragrant evergreen with beautiful white flowers, absolutely a wonderful plant, star jasmine.
Okay, and that's hardy enough that it'll survive the heat of the summer, and it'll also, you know, the days that it gets down to 20 degrees or whatever, that'll live through that too.
Yeah, the top may freeze back a little bit, but it will, absolutely. And then there's a couple other natives. Another evergreen that's wonderful is called coral honeysuckle.
Coral honeysuckle. Okay, yeah. I'm writing this down as you're telling me. I appreciate it.
Crossvine. That's another evergreen. And then there's a whole bunch of other cool vines like that. I don't know how long of a span you want to cover there, but
about 100 feet or so.
Well, and you know, there's also awesome climbing roses if you don't have to worry about deer.
No, we don't. It's in the yard. There's dogs there and stuff that keep deer away.
Oh, there's some wonderful climbing roses. Look on the Antique Rose website, or the A&M has a whole bunch of them called Earth Kind. Every kind of rose that grows in the worst soil with no spraying and all that foofy stuff you have to do. Look at the Earth Kind, because a lot of those are really fast-growing, big vines.
I see.
And some.
Cheryl, let me ask you about with the jasmine, the honeysuckle, something like that. I like the idea of having something that's fragrant, something that has some pretty flowers once in a while. When I'm preparing soil bed for that, what kind of fertilizer? I mean, we live on a farm. We've got chickens and all kinds of natural manure running around. Is that a good fertilizer to put under these plants?
Well, you know what? It's okay if it's part of a compost pile, but if you put just straight manure, it's going to be so high nitrogen that you're probably going to get a whole bunch of leaves and not a whole lot of blooms.
Oh, so, you're going to shock the plant.
Yeah,
huh?
It's just a nitrogen. You know, it's more for leaves. So I would be, but if you compost it with a bunch of other stuff and then use it, then you're in good shape. And most of the ones I've talked to you about don't need a lot, but there's some really good time-release organic fertilizers that you can just throw a handful down there. Formulated for flowering plants.
Oh, I gotcha. And then tell me about water. Is that something where I'd want to set up an irrigation, a drip line, and something like that?
Probably to get them going.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How much water does it take to start plants along the fence like that?
Well, it just depends on if you're getting rain or not. You know, and also how big of a pot you put in there. If you're just now putting in a little tiny one, then you're going to have to really water it a lot. Right. You know, and if it, so that's why now is a really good time to plant stuff.
Right.
Because
okay.
it's so much easier to get them established, you know, and yeah, it might freeze, but then you just go out there and, you know, wrap the little stuff with some, you know, whatever, a blanket or yeah. some sheets or something. But
and you're not fighting the heat of the summer.
Right.
That, are you?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that gives me some great ideas. Cheryl, thank you very much. I enjoy your program, ma'am.
Well, thank you for calling and for listening. I appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Okay, let's go to Northwest Austin. Hey, Jim, thank you for your patience. It's your turn.
Yes. Well, I have several things in my peach tree.
What do you mean?
They're up in my peach tree. I knocked them out yesterday. They're kind of look like mangled, distracted peaches. And I can't imagine them staying in their tree all fall.
Huh.
But they're really hard.
Oh, they sound more like maybe a gall or something, huh?
I guess, maybe so. I don't know. I had never seen one before.
Have you tried to look on, because I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
But,
Let me give you an idea. It's about inch and a half long, and it's probably inch wide. And so it's kind of a freaky looking thing. If you were to look at it, you'd say it's a peach seed.
Huh.
Well, that's what it looks like.
Ridges.
Cutting one open, it was really hard.
Yeah. It could be, what is the name of that dadgum thing? I want to call it let me see if I have a picture of it in my book here. It's a casing for an insect is what it is, and it's not something to worry about. I don't think, but I'm trying to find that picture so I can give you the right name of it. It looks almost kind of like a basket thingy, right? But it's I know what when you said it looks kind of like
Peach seed.
Yeah, the
it looks
seed.
Like a peach seed.
That was my clue. That was my clue. I could be wrong. I need to. Oh, it's a form of bagworm, basically.
Bagworm. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
It won't hurt the peach tree.
Well, let me read now because I'm reading.
Okay.
They look like tiny Christmas trees, walking and eating across the leaf surface. I'm not sure I got the right thing here, bud. You can, what you need to do is either take one to a nursery or
I did yesterday.
And what'd they say?
They didn't know what it was at all. The lady jumped back from it. No, I said, it's not alive. It's not a dead thing. The guy says he didn't know what it was either.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Are you willing to drive all the way down to the Natural Gardener?
Yeah, the bee caves.
Yeah, old bee caves road.
Today, but I'm
maybe not today. If I were you, I would do this. If you have one, put it in a baggie, and then just hang on to it and take it down there because he has resident, people that can identify things, and so can the master gardeners. But also, there is the A&M website has a whole section on plant pathology that you may find a picture of this. Now you got me so dadgum curious. I'd really like to know what it is. So you can also send a picture to my website. Go to kevinwoodlandscapes.com, and there's a contact page, and you can email us a picture of it if you so get so inclined.
Well, are you at the KTBC office?
I am.
You're on North I-35, right?
Yeah, but you can text pictures also.
Yeah, I'm not real good.
You're not good on that kind of stuff? Yeah, but I'm not here except on the weekends, and it's closed. You can't get in or do anything.
I can understand.
Yeah, so if you're not good at that texting and that kind of stuff, the thing to do would be to either see if you can find a picture of that online. I would go straight to Google. I don't know if you do computers. Do you do computers?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah.
Google bagworms.
Okay.
And then see if any of these casings resemble what you're doing. But I got to go. And good.
Okay.
Thanks for stumping the host, honey.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Cheryl McLaughlin saying thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow morning if you can at 10 a.m. for my regular program, The Austin Gardener. And you guys have a wonderful weekend. It's so cool to be outside when it's like this misty and warm, and go look at some trees. Put some trees in. I'll see y'all tomorrow.